My name is Steve Nelson, and I first of all want to thank you all for coming. Glad to see you're health conscious. And we're going to talk more about how this is whole health. It's not just your body physically being healthy, but how we're all, it's all connected. And because we're going to be interrupted with a projector coming in, I thought maybe we could go ahead and pray now and ask God to lead us and not get that out of the way, but get that done, because if we don't do that, none of this works very well anyway. So we really want to hear from God, because God has a lot to say about our health, and He wants us to be healthy. He wants us, as we are, listening this morning, He really wants us to enjoy Him in His presence, His fullness of joy. His right hand, there are pleasures forever, and He really wants us to enjoy living life in these vessels and these bodies, and really being a good testimony for Him by that. Not just, physically, but emotionally, and the joy of the Lord be our strength. So, anyway, let's pray, shall we? Father, I just thank You for each person here, and I thank You for their heart to know You and to follow You. I pray that You would lead our time, that Your Holy Spirit would minister to all of our needs, as only You can, Lord. I know that there are certain things that You've put on my heart and that You've used in my life. But there may be things here, I'm sure there are, that people have questions, needs, concerns, that I don't have a clue what they are, Lord, but You do. And so we pray that Your Spirit would lead our time and He would minister to us, and that we'd even during the question and answer time being able to minister to each other. I know that folks here probably didn't come expecting to do that, but I pray that they would feel free to do that at the end. And Lord, thank You that we all have Your Spirit, that none of us are alone, none of us are orphans, that You've made us all adequate as servants of a new covenant by Your Spirit. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So, sorry guys, we were praying so because we know we're going to be interrupted again with a projector. No, you're fine. We know we're actually starting a little bit ahead of time. You know, when you have seven children, my wife, where's my beautiful wife back there, Danelle? You learn to be flexible. And so, people walking in and things like that, it's just, you just keep going on, right? Just, you have interruptions, that's part of life, isn't it? It's kind of silly to think that our life isn't going to get interrupted, The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And part of that directing our steps is change, interruptions. So, all right, we have a man with a...
I'm not setting it up. He's on the floor.
Okay, well, at least you have the stuff, the equipment. So, do you want me to put this up here? Would that be better if you put the projector right here?
We might actually have to... I think David's moving this a little bit forward.
Okay, all right. While he's setting that up, I'd just like to hear from anybody here, any one of y'all, why are you here? What are your expectations from this time? And that'll discourage me because I won't be able to meet them. No. No, but seriously, what kind of questions do you have? At least it'll give me kind of some idea as to where to go. Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Hey, you want to come on up? Awesome. That is fantastic. Spiritual motivation, good healthy motivation. We're going to talk about healthy motivation. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? What's...
Some action plans to keep everything balanced.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Isn't that... I mean, it is challenging. I laugh with you. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because, gosh, it's hard to keep balance. Things like those interruptions, and just life itself comes along, and it's hard to stay the course, to be consistent, isn't it? And stay motivated. We're talking about that too. Yes. Okay. For you personally, as far as...
Yeah,
an exercise plan or just...
Push through it or do I rest?
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Well, I can tell you, I used to run 7-minute mile pace. Now I run 9. And so that's, I think it's what you're asking is, as we get older, do we just push through it? Do we just, you know, and then I used to run 5 days a week. Now I run 3. And I swim 3 days a week. So, or, and that's not always. That's, again, back to the, you know, there are interruptions. You can, and you have to be willing to. I mean, because there are good things that interrupt us, too, that we just have to work with. So, yeah, just learning your limitations, learning to work with it yourself. Good. Anybody else feel brave enough to? Don't we have some folks training for a marathon here, don't we? Sometimes that can be discouraging. We don't want to hear about them. No. How many of you all are, and this is, again, we're talking about the physical, spiritual, emotional, all of that, but how many of you all are exercising regularly a few times a week? Most everybody? Okay, how many of y'all are not, but would like to start? Are you kind of wanting to get back? And okay, good, thanks. You're among friends. And again, every one of us, you know, there are times where I was running and I'd get injured, and the hardest thing in the world was getting back at it again. Because you go back and, you know, where you were running 5 or 6 miles and you know, the half a mile just about killed you. It's like, what happened? I had all that, but it doesn't stay with you. You don't use it, you lose it. And so again, I think I can relate to some of you guys. And I'm, you know, I love to be a cheerleader. I love, if you guys are just starting, I mean, there was a while, Danelle, I kind of tell your story where, you know, for years and years she was just having children and raising children and didn't have the time to exercise because of 7 children, you can imagine, and homeschooling and for 20 years. So, you know, her starting back and running, I would go with her and we would run, walk, and she would run slowly, you know, very slow, much slower than I would. And but she'd just run, you know, a quarter mile or something, and we'd walk and run. And that, but the, you have to look at the big picture. And after months, didn't you run a half marathon with your daughters? Yeah, I mean, after.
We'll never do that again.
Yeah. But the point is, I was willing to come alongside her, and it wasn't, it didn't matter to me. It wasn't about me. It was about helping her get back to exercising and enjoying it. And that's what, whatever you know, do, God wants you to enjoy it. Isn't this a funny picture? All right, we'll officially start our whole health seminar, How to Glorify God in Your Body. Can you guys see this?
Alligators?
Yeah, those are alligators. All around her, she's just standing there. She, I guess she's got the big stick, but we're talking about mental, whole health. I'm not sure her mental health is all there. I found this picture on the internet. I thought, yeah, interesting one to put up there for our first picture. How to glorify God in your body. I think she probably needed some help understanding more the dangers there. But gosh, I guess she survived. Who knows? Anyway, we talked about this morning. Then 1 Corinthians 9, it says, wait a minute, let me just give that a little more introduction. First of all, why do I want to talk about the seminar? Because I wouldn't, if I hadn't taken care of myself physically, and again, it ties spiritually, emotional, all of it, you can't, we'll talk about that in a second, but my wife and I lived in Ukraine for 6 years, and physically it was challenging. It's not third world, but there were places we went across Ukraine that were probably third world, you know, had outhouses and on and on and on that were physically, we would not have been able to do that if we hadn't been taking care of ourselves. You know, had that habit of eating well and living right and just walking with God. And so I say that because I really want you guys to finish the course with joy. This Christian life is much more like a marathon than a 100-meter, you know, sprint. And so, you know, those who endure to the end, the Bible talks about perseverance. And so if you feel like you've been set back and you're just starting over with a taking care of yourself, that's okay. You're here, you're serious, that's a good sign. there's life, you know. There's life in that body. And there's the Spirit of God in you. And so it's a good thing, as well as your testimony. I don't mean just being able to go physically, but also just, I think it's good if people look at us, and not that we have, there has to be perfection, but they see that there is some self-discipline, some self-control. They see there's a joy. We're happy with who we are. You know, and as the older you get and your hair turns gray and different things, okay, am I happy with what I look like? I know that's not the most important thing, because man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. But still, you have to be happy in the body God's given you. And not like, I wish I was this way. And that's, you know, we'll talk about that Sunday in our seminar on, and we talk about contentment in our seminar. I'm talking about Secure in an Insecure World, my book, and finding the love of your life. But that contentment, you know, we need that here to have whole health. You have to be happy with who you are. And a third thing, I just wanted to say this as a disclaimer. You know, we can be disciplined and eat well and all these things and take care of ourselves, but there's still that factor that we live in a fallen world. Our body still has aches and pains that have nothing to do with whether you were faithful to take care of yourself. We get diseases that we didn't, you know, had nothing to do with us. Maybe you washed your hands, did everything you did, got your shots, did all, you know, and you still get sick. People get in car accidents. So there's a lot of things as far as health-wise that are just out of our control. We're talking today about what can we control, and I just want to say that because I didn't want to sound like insensitive or, you know, and let me also say this. I am not a nutritionist, so I'm going to offer some things here at the end, but most of this is just from my experience and my relationship with God. So first of all, this is where I think it begins. It's what Jack was talking about, but in 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." So we're under new management. The sign out, you know, under new management. When you give your life to Christ, you're saying, "God, I want you to be Lord of my life, my boss, my CEO, you're in control. Here I am." So that's entirely different than the unbeliever. Entirely, you know, they are in control of their life, doing what they want, the way they want, when they want, and for themselves. Our goal in life is to glorify God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, it says in Corinthians, do all to the glory of God. If we're living for God's glory, that's the same as loving God with all your heart. It's not a, you know, opposites. That's what that means. Loving God with all your heart means bringing Him glory. People to focus on Him, to love Him, to trust Him, to give Him thanks, give Him the honor, give Him the credit. This is when we are most satisfied when we are, God is most glorified when we're most satisfied with Him. As John Piper says, something like that, right? So it's really true. God wants us to be happy in Jesus. And because we're loved by Him, He owns us, we're His bride, we're going to be with Him forever. So that's where we've got to start. And then this whole idea of faith. Faith in God does result in whole health. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." I want you to notice the progression. Here we have trust in God. Or have faith in God. Don't lean gives you specifics. Don't lean on your own understanding. So don't try to figure it all out. God, I need your wisdom. What are you saying here? Getting counsel from others. Understand. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And this is, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be prideful. Don't think you can do it without Him. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. All that is trusting in the Lord and having faith. Then, notice this, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. There is no question that, move along here, that when we don't do that, we will experience a lot of problems, emotionally, physically, but when we trust God, there is a peace that guards our hearts and minds. And it has physical effect, emotional effect. And that's what God wants. So I think it's very important for us to understand that we are a triune being. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can talk about our emotional, you know, emotions, we can talk about our physical body, but you really can't understand them separately without understanding they are all you. It's not like this is to me it's kind of funny, but it's the Christian terms a lot of times we come up with, and we talk about a prayer life. Okay, Jordan, how's your prayer life? And I started thinking, do you ever think about terms and where we come up with them? So, Jordan, what is a prayer life? Like, do you have some little life over here that this, you know, you go to the closet, you pray, and then you come out and the rest of your life, but we're told to pray without ceasing, right? So it's a relationship with God, and you're talking with Him, and you're thanking Him, and you're praying for other people, and it really isn't, I don't know that there is such a thing as a prayer life. That's what I'm trying to say, you know, but we come up with these little, you know, so we talk about it. I think to try to nail it down, you can't understand your prayer life without the rest of your life. It's because you don't really have a prayer life. You have a life that's you pray, and you want to be devoted to prayer and trusting God as a way of life. So, I think it's kind of funny. You know, how's your prayer life? You know, what? So to understand, you need to understand this is all of you, and one affects the other. For example, when I'm tired, is it easy to stay in the spirit? No. When you're sleepy, you know, it's easy. It's hard. When you're hungry, guys, and the kids are running around, is it harder to stay? You see how one affects the other? So it doesn't mean that if you're, you know, it's just more to understand that it's more challenging at certain times. We were watching our kids. I didn't do a very good job recently watching our kids. We had 4 days, four kids, you know, and grandchildren. Yes, grandchildren, not our adult children. All right, we have 15 grandchildren. So we were watching four of them from ages, what, five? How old is Ian?
One.
One, from 1 to 8. And by the end of the day, I was just, you know, tired, and I got impatient. I thought, wow. You know, I'm really finding out about what? Not physically. I'm finding out how I'm doing with God. And this just brought to the surface my weakness in my relationship with God. And I had to, you know, confess this sin and ask the Lord to forgive me. But I think it's important that you understand that that's who you are. Your spirit, the way that you can communicate with God. The word soul comes from the word thirst, and the soul is your emotions, your will, your desires, and this is really interesting. You really don't have a soul; you are a soul. You don't like you get a soul, you know, but you are a soul. That's who you are, and of course, the natural man versus the spiritual man, this is why an unbeliever can't truly have whole health. Just like because they can't truly love with the love of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. So they can't have the peace of God ruling in their hearts. So they won't have whole health. That's why we need to lead them to Christ, help them experience this whole health that God wants for them. So the natural man, we're reading here in Ephesians 2:1, it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." And they're not physically dead. Yet, you know, we're all walking around, they're alive, but they're not alive spiritually. They're spiritually dead. "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." 1 Corinthians 2:14. They're just like you're speaking another language and it doesn't compute. So the natural man may be very conscious of eating well and getting the sleep they need and exercising, but there's always going to be that void because the relationship with God is not there, so they can't experience the whole health that God intends for them, where the spiritual man's alive. And this is Romans 8, verses 10 and verse 16. "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How do you know you're Christian? The Spirit bears witness. He's saying, hey, I'm in here, you know. I'm alive inside of you. And then you see the fruit. You see the, and you can understand the things of God. You read the Bible, it's like, oh, wow, I understand this now. And then you have the power to do it. I never could love. I never could forgive. I never could serve others. I was very selfish, and now I'm doing this stuff. Wow, it's God. And that's, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. And so, you see, I really know God. And the Spirit, He bears witness with our spirit. That's where we're able to communicate and connect with God in our spirit. So, it's very important to understand that. Here's the effect of anxiety I was talking about, especially unbelievers. They don't know anything but this. Now, as believers, you know, often we're this way too. This is from Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down, but an encouraging word brings him joy. And so I just wrote up, I mean, you could go on and on about, trying to get them all inside that little heart. And then you can see this anger float over here. But headaches, sleeplessness, aches and pains. And now everybody's aches and pains, but this, we're talking about unnecessary. We're talking about ulcers, headaches, relational problems, overeating, depression, irritable, angry, on and on and on. Because that anxiety, because they're bearing all the weight. They're not trusting God with all their heart, in all their ways, acknowledging Him. And, you know, what does God do? Blessed be the Lord, He who daily bears our burdens. What a great God we have. What a personal, intimate, loving Father. Every little thing about your life, everything you're concerned about, God just wants you to learn to, God, here, I'm trusting you with this baby coming in March. I'm trusting you with that. I'm trusting you with this new job that's, you know, I don't know where to go. Lord, oh, I can trust you. No good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. Gosh, that's cool, God, here. And so this relationship with God, you know, keeps us from living this way. But you see, that's the key. Your relationship with God is the key to everything. So God wants us to live free from that. And I, you know, this is John 10:10. In the Amplified Bible, I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That was one of the first verses I heard, you know, when I, as an unbeliever, hearing that verse and just thinking, gosh, I want that. And God wants you to have that. Just like we were looking at this morning, God wants us to be happy. Jesus died that we might have full, you know, rivers of living water flowing out of us. Is that what people see in you? Do they see that the joy of the Lord is your strength? They see the love of God flowing out of you? That's what God wants. That's why Christ came and died, not just so He would go to heaven, but so that we'd really know Him and experience Him here. So this is the key, is our relationship with Christ. Two are better than one when it comes to, and this is just the whole Christian life, but this is actually a true story. These two girls, high school girls, are running a track meet, and I think this one couldn't finish the race, and this one, a girl here, just put her arm around her and helped her get across the finish line. Of course, she made it to the, online, and an article written about her, and then TV was talking about her. So I forgot the details, but I know she helped her. And Ecclesiastes 4, it says, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You know, one of the most beautiful things God did when He made you His child, He put you into the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether slaves or, you know, free. We were all made to drink of the same Spirit. So He put you in this new family so that we can all be healthy together. We can all help each other because we all, some, you know, are going to, I mean, we all have ups and downs. We all face different things. We all want to quit. We all want to give up, right? Training, have there not been times for you, Elena, where you've wanted to quit? She's training for this marathon. When is it? Next month? January? And Myrtle Beach?
No,
Charleston. Okay, cool. Hopefully it'll be cool. But anyway, I know there have been times where you wanted to quit, but because you've got, what, three of you, right?
Yeah.
All running the race together, and you've been training together. We all need that support, because you struggle with doubt, you get injuries, you get, you know, whatever things, you get too busy. Hey, let me get, we need to, you know, run today. Well, I don't feel like it. Yeah, it's raining. It's cold. So two are better off. And this whole health, we really need each other. If you don't have a partner, one of them who falls is in real trouble. So we'll talk about that more too in a practical way. So we're talking about motivation here. Healthy motivation for whole health. As we saw earlier, to glorify God, not yourselves. And I mentioned this verse earlier, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all the glory of God. Before we came to Christ, we were all about ourselves. And so we operated out of this insecurity and this pride. And so our motivation to look good and be healthy and successful in sports or whatever we did was about... Now, maybe we weren't quite as overt as some, you know, professional athletes, you know. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Ain't nobody better than Muhammad Ali, you know. Maybe we weren't quite that, bold and arrogant. But really, that's before we came to Christ, we're all about ourselves. We're all self-centered. And now our motivation is to honor God. And so, how do we do that? It's to live for others. Don't you like this? You know, there were three musketeers. The other guy was like a prince or something, wasn't he? Anybody know the story? This up here says, all for one and one for all, the three musketeers. Because they asked me... Okay. Thank you. Anyway, the whole idea here is they were united. And together they were stronger than if they were three or four alone. And we are made, you know, in the body of Christ, the ear can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. I need you. You need me. And it's much more fun together. It's much more fun to cross that finish line with somebody. I ran the Paris Marathon with my daughter Whitney, and there were times where she's like, come on, Dad. She'd get up in front of me, you know. She's a lot younger than me, too. But she crossed the finish line at the Paris Marathon. I turned around. We drug this camera, you know, like big old fat camera was for 26 miles. We were like running with her for a while. Okay, now it's your turn. After the end of the race, like, no, I don't want to carry this thing. Probably weighed about 8 ounces, but it felt like 8 pounds, you know. And so she ran across the finish line and she took my picture, and we both collapsed, you know, after that. But it was so, you know, create those memories. And that's, you know, why we're in the body of Christ, is to serve God together. To be healthy together. So, let's get this verse. Philippians 1. This is Paul's attitude. I am convinced that I will remain alive, so I can continue to help you all to grow and experience the joy of your faith. So, why are we alive? For you, for each other. It gives me great joy. Like when Danelle was training and starting back to run again. It was exciting for me to see her with our five daughters running that half marathon and being successful. But it was also fun day after day to see her making progress. So your life, you will be most fulfilled and gratified when you're just helping others too to be healthy. And that's, it really is part of discipleship. I mean, you could just as easily call this, you know, being a disciple, helping each other follow Christ and enjoy Him. And because again, it goes back to your testimony. It is a great testimony to be healthy, to be happy, to be content, and to do it together, to support each other. So Paul said, if I'm going to remain alive on this earth, I'm going to remain for your progress and joy in the faith, to help you all grow. So that's a great motivation. And then I think it's very important to understand, I think you all talk about this, some of you all in our, before we actually officially started. How many times do you feel like, whatever, running, getting up, doing aerobics class, it's raining, it's cold, and that's why this familiar, you may say, well, that's Campus Crusade's diagram, you know, the spirit filled living by faith. It is. And the righteous shall live by faith in Romans 1:17. In Matthew, Mark 1, it says, have faith in God. Our faith is in God and His Word. As you know, if you're familiar with this, this train, they don't even have cabooses anymore. We saw one on the way up here. I don't think they even have the little caboose at the end. But this, if you put this caboose in front of that engine, it wouldn't pull it. It couldn't pull the train. Our life is not meant to be dependent on our feelings or our emotions. If you run your life depending on your feelings, you're going to have problems. So but the train can run without them. God's given you emotions. It's not like we just deaden our emotions and don't have them. But so you learn how to live by faith even when you don't feel like it. I don't remember the last time I felt like changing a poopy diaper. Do you? You don't study and go to class and prepare for an exam because you feel like it. Because you know if you don't do it, you're not going to make the grade that you'd like to get. So you stay up late, you lose sleep, and you live by faith. You're doing this, taking these steps by faith, that this is going to result, not by your feelings. Oh, there's so many times, Anna, you could probably relate to this, running. So many times I wake up in the morning and it's dark, and I have to go out and run this too many miles in training and preparation for this event. And you think, oh, it's so warm, it's cold out, I don't want to get out of bed. And I just have to pray, God, help me get out of bed. And I just try to take a step, and He'd just give the grace to get out of bed. Okay, Lord. And then you get out there, and I'm running with my daughter Grace, and oh, it's cold, it's dark, and I don't feel like then. But okay, and by faith, Lord, you help us do this, and maybe half a mile or a mile into it, you start feeling better. And by the time when you're done, you look back, and I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I did that. But it's a life of faith. Everything we do is not. We can't depend on our feelings to be healthy. Okay, practical steps to whole health. Especially if you have not been talking to your doctor, talk with them. It's good to just go to a doctor on a regular basis, especially when you get to be 40. They say go for your annual physical, and I've been doing that. Don't ignore them. Like, don't ignore the dentist. Don't ignore the doctor. Don't think that you don't need, they are there to help you. So that's important. Regular checkups, sleep. You can't neglect, especially if you run a lot. I mean, you're really putting in the miles now. You're preparing for a marathon or some, event like that. Sleep is important. Recovery. I didn't write that word up here, but recovery. You need recovery days. And the older you get, like me, you might need, instead of one recovery day, you might need two. And that's okay. Or if you feel yourself getting injured or you're sore, take another day off. Sometimes it's hard for us who are driven people to back off, and we feel like I'm going to lose it all if I take another day of rest. Well, no, you may not finish. You may not succeed if you don't take a day of rest. So learn, and that's you're learning your body, and you're learning when to push yourself. Your body will talk to you. Your body will tell you, this is, hey, I'm hurting here or there, or you're cranky, grumpy. So listen to your body. Get those rest. Diet and supplements. Is something about taking care of yourself physically that you say, okay, well, this is also an important part of it. Again, they're inseparable. Sleep and diet, it's inseparable to your health. So, make sure you're eating healthy. We'll talk. I've got something at the end specifically. You can actually, Danelle and I figured you guys can just take pictures because you're so good at it. You can just take a picture of the last slide. It's got some practical stuff. But we take Danelle and I take supplements. People laugh at us. We take fish oil. If you're not taking fish oil, it's inexpensive. Eat it with a meal. I have a high cholesterol. It has nothing to do with being physically fit. It's all hereditary. And so my doctor for years has been trying to get my cholesterol down and trying this and that. I don't want to take any, but I still have to take statins and stuff like that. But he said, you need to take fish oil. So I was taking like one fish oil tablet, maybe a couple of times a day. And then he sent me to a cholesterol specialist. Because he said, we're not getting where I'd like to get his cholesterol down. And this guy said, you need to take 4 fish oils 3 times a day. It's like, okay. So I started doing that, and then I went back to my physician 6 months later to have my blood work done. He said, I've never seen anybody with such high omega-3 and omega-6 in my life. He said, you probably cut down to, how much are you taking? Probably three times a day. So that's what I do now. And I think it really has helped. So there are a lot of things like that that you can do. Maybe you don't need to go that extreme. But if you're not taking fish oil, I'd recommend, you know, at least take one or two or three every day. And it's not expensive, and it really is good for your heart and your health. So anyway, my wife, she researches all this stuff, goes online and tries to find out what really works and what doesn't. And, you know, I'm sure there are probably some things that we're taking that probably aren't necessary. But we don't get all the nutrition that our grandparents probably did because they ate things right out of the field, anything they caught, anything they shot, and you know, and we have much more pollution, much more stress, our fast-paced life. So I would suggest supplements. And stretching and posture, I thought, you know, this is kind of a, this is a real practical thing, especially though if you're running. Yeah, my dad always stand up straight, shoulders back. And I hear him just telling me that. I'm glad he did. And I tell all my kids, they probably get sick and tired of it. But you just look better, you feel better. You know, like chiropractor says, when your spine's in line, you'll feel fine. So, so it really, you do look better. Remind yourself. And sitting in the car, if you work at a desk, don't sit there for several hours straight. Get up, walk around, stretch. I know you might look a little weird during meetings. You're sitting there like this. I used to stretch even more, but I think it's very, very important to stay flexible, because the older you get, the less flexible you are. I mean, my sister-in-law is a physical therapist, and she was asking me, how can you lift your hand? You know, can you, whatever. It's like, you know, get range of motion. And I thought, she said, well, you've got, you know, good range of motion, but you have to work on it. Like anything, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Swimming is good. Swimming is a great exercise. You don't have the stress of running. And there, here's your partner or trainer. I just can't overemphasize that enough, because, again, you're going to be tired. You're going to be sleeping. If you know somebody out is that going to meet you out there and they're waiting for you, that's a great motivation to get up and get out there. And they know that you'll be out there. So just having another person to exercise with. I mean, I've got some friends, I've got some of my children who exercise alone. And I know at times if they had somebody else, they'd probably be more regular, more faithful, more successful. I want to talk about food. Because you can go to two extremes on this. But I think this is real good to look at. 1 Timothy 4. Can you guys see that? I didn't think that was going to turn out. I should have made that black. I was trying to find a slide that would work. But that, anyway, 1 Timothy 4, verse 3. God gave us everything to enjoy. Here's the, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. God richly supplies us all things to enjoy. God gave us food just... He wants us to enjoy it, just like He wants you to enjoy the sunset, the sunrise, the flowers. He's giving you taste buds, and He really wants you to not feel guilty about enjoying food. Now, we talked about fasting this morning. Of course, we don't want food to control us. We don't want it to, you know, we don't want to live to eat. We want to eat to live. We want to eat healthy, but there you can eat healthy and enjoy it and not feel guilty. You shouldn't go around feeling guilty. And then the next verse, 1 Timothy 4:3, they will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Now you know the truth. So enjoy it. And don't feel, you know, I like this too much. This is tasty. I like tasty meals, don't you? And then this part, exercise self-control. Put a knife to your throat. Proverbs 23, verse 2. Put a knife to your throat if you're a man of great appetite. So just, you know, learn to have self-control. Ask God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. is not, none of this is natural. This is all connected back to our relationship with God. So ask God for the grace. But I think we need to have a righteous perspective on food. And these verses, I think, really are good. The next thing is on exercise. We've already mentioned the partner. This is my good buddy, Ivan, in Ukraine. We lived there for 6 years. Well, this is in Moscow. This is where I'm running the Moscow Marathon in the rain, as you can tell. And Ivan ran... It was crazy. They had a 10K at the same time the marathon was going on, and they started us all the same together. So it was chaos. Bless their hearts. So Yvonne ran the 10K, and then he came back and ran part of the marathon with me just to get me across the finish line, keep me encouraged, because there will be times, whether it's running a marathon or any exercise you're doing or anything in life, emotionally and otherwise, you're just going to want to quit. And that's one of the beauties of having a partner, somebody to come alongside of you, encourage you, talk with you, support you, pray with you. My daughter Grace and I, Danelle goes with us and she runs her own pace, and Grace and I, we run our own pace, so we run together. We pray the entire time, and we're giving thanks to God, worshiping God by faith, because we remember we don't feel that, we're not even really awake, we don't feel that great starting off, but we pray for people in our house church, pray for our family, and it is wonderful. And I look forward, you know, some people talk about going on prayer walks. We have prayer runs. And if you run with me, you will pray with me, because it's just so great. It's just a great opportunity. No cell phones and no TV and nothing to bother you, and you're just with God. And we run along the river. A lot of great places to run, but take advantage of that. You know, we think, well, now we're having our discipleship class and we're sitting in this room with these people. And hey, a disciple, after he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus chose 12 to be with him. Do you think he saw, you know, from 9 to 10 every morning, that's when they had their discipleship class? No, more is caught than taught. They were watching him all the time. And he didn't have a prayer life. He just prayed. And they prayed with him. And they learned this relationship with God is alive and real and not in a box. It's not a religion. So I hope you have prayer runs and prayer drives and prayer walks, and that you just pray. Pray without ceasing. But Grace and I, it's just fantastic. I just look forward to that so much, being with her. And this part is so important right here. Do something you enjoy. Don't hate exercise. Find something. Ride a bike, swim. Find something you like. Find a partner you can do it with for support and accountability and encouragement, and do that. And the third thing here is be consistent. It doesn't mean perfection, or if you miss a day that you just, you know, quit. You're going to miss days. There's going to be setbacks. That's part of having the partner and the friend. But try to be consistent. Don't frustrate yourself. You haven't been exercising. Okay, I want to do it 7 days a week. And that's this part right here that you can hardly see. Start gradually. Start off like Danelle and I when she started back running. Start off simply. Oh, I'll never forget Gerald Rush, a good friend of ours. He lives in Raleigh. And you know Gerald? Gerald Rush? Okay. Anybody here know Gerald? Okay. We're all dear friends of ours. We've known him from Clemson. He was a Clemson graduate. And but a group of us would go out running, and we had this trail through Clemson property and through the forest that we would run on. And I think Gerald was a new runner. He was at least new to distance running. He played football as a walk-on at Clemson, played football there. But anyway, we took Gerald out for a run, and I told the other guy, I said, be easy on him. Let's don't run Big Red. Well, Big Red is a clay hill that just kept going on and on. Sure enough, they took him out and ran up that hill. And, of course, he couldn't run that hill, and he didn't want to run again forever. So it was counterproductive. He, you know, we ruined him. We got a bad taste in his mouth. So start gradually. Find something you enjoy, so that they will keep, whoever it is, will keep doing it. Make it enjoyable. Give it, make it, you know, step by step attainable. And then pray for grace. I think I mentioned that earlier. Just the, you pray for each other. Lord, help them be faithful. Pray for yourself. Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it, but help me, give me the grace to persevere and do it cheerfully. God loves a cheerful exerciser. And I think this is important to understand. A perspective on whole health is 2 Corinthians 4:16, our outer and inner man. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We're all aging. We're all going to have more aches and pains, and eventually 100% of us will die. But this is the good part. You're going to get a new body. If you know Jesus, 2 Corinthians 15, for this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. That is your future. You'll be able to run a 2-minute mile. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever do that? Nope. In heaven? Probably. I'm just throwing that out, obviously. Just the point is, nope. Can you? We can't imagine, because all we've known is a life where we're limited. We have to sleep. We have to eat to keep going. We cut ourselves and it hurts. You know, we get more wrinkles. You're aging, and this happens, and death is inevitable. That's all our experience. But there will be no crying, no pain, no suffering, and we'll have a new body. Now that is a future. So I think it helps to focus, you know, my inner person, my relationship with Christ. That is the key. Nothing can change that. Nothing will alter that. Focus on that. Know that that is the most important thing, is your inner person and your relationship with Christ. And someday it'll all be new. Then you can take a picture of this later if you want. These are just some common practices, but maybe I'll go. I don't want you necessarily to focus on that right now, so I'll just leave that up. And then I'll put it back up at the end. I'm not trying to keep it from you. I'm just. These are just some practical stuff that I think common practices, guidelines, and people recommend. A lot of just, you guys are probably doing it at home anyway, doing all this anyway. But anyway, I'll give you that at the end, but I don't want you thinking about it. Why don't we open it up to question and answers? And maybe, you know, again, some of you all may have a better answer than I do, so I am not too prideful to let anybody else answer your question too. So anybody have any or comments? Is this helpful, encouraging? Bring up more questions? I do want you to see how, you know, this is all you. You know, your physical, your emotional, how they all make up you, and one does affect the other. So we can't just neglect it and say that being physically healthy is unimportant. It isn't. It's all part of you, and it's all part of you glorifying God. It's all part of you affecting unbelievers and having the ability to do it. Yes?
So maybe your life pitch is so better, but being a mother with 4 little kids and homeschooling and all that's involved, how do you work that into your day practically, exercising and being healthy? And...
Sweetheart? Come on. Well, they're not going to hear the answer if you don't come up here.
Okay.
They will hear it, but whoever listens to this thing.
It's hard. What can I say?
repeater question.
Your question is, how do you have 4 children at home, homeschool, and have time for exercise? And it changed over time. There were times when Steve could be home in the morning and I could go run before he would leave for work. And then that didn't work, and so then I would put a couple of the kids down for a nap and do an exercise video, going out, I mean, obviously taking kids for a walk, just getting out the door. But you really, it's a season of life where it's not about you, as you know, and you just do the best you can. And I'm just thankful now. I mean, my kids are grown, and I have more freedom to exercise every morning early because I don't have anybody to take care of early in the morning. So I don't know if that helps, but I mean, that's basically what I did. And you just do the best you can. And you can do stuff, I mean, with the kids. I mean, it really was very much different all the time. So anybody else have any? I know there are other mothers in here. Giselle, what do you do?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the exercise videos. I did that for a while until the second time I kicked my youngest in the head.
Oh.
And then I thought, I better do something different. Actually, it was my oldest. He was so little at the time. So yes, it is changing all the time. And I would just do things like I tried walking with them, but then I had to walk so slow it was physically painful, so we changed that. And then, do you know how, oh gosh, that was hard. And then, so I would do, like, if I was folding laundry, I would try to do squats while I was folding laundry, or I don't know. And then we joined the YMCA when they were, when I felt like I could get out of the house with four little kids. And they have free childcare with membership. So that's what we did, and they loved it. They loved going to the kids' zone. So we did that for a while, and that was really helpful.
Yeah.
We do a lot of laundry, so it's lots of laundry.
Perfect. Yes. So.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing y'all say is be creative, and doing what you're doing here, asking each other, you know, networking, other mothers, other. You know, our son has his own business, and. You know, he's self-employed. That it's very difficult for him to get to the gym. So somehow we're strategizing. How can he be creative? What can he do to make that happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. But he was the other day. He was out playing with his kids, throwing the frisbee in the backyard. And was it Christmas Day? Mm-hmm. I think it might have Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was so hot they wanted to go swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Yes.
As like a college student, how do you then balance expense?
How do you balance as a college student?
That's kind of tricky. Because I'm sure you probably don't have money to spend on pretty
gym
much anything.
Membership.
So I guess at your school you don't have a free gym or anything like that. So. Well, yeah, yeah. So, since I wasn't that athletic and when I was in college, I couldn't tell you. So,
I played soccer at Clemson, and I was not a Christian my freshman year. And all we did was go, go, go. And so my, you know, practice, I was exhausted. And at the end of practice, I didn't want to study, so that wasn't a good example.
Mm-hmm.
But, I gave my life to Christ beginning my sophomore year, and I began to involve God in my life, asking Him to lead me and to trust in Him without leaning on my own understanding, like, and say, God, help me to study more effectively, more efficiently. And my grades went up because I began studying with God. And I know this, I am getting around to the exercise part, but the same with exercise. It's interesting. If you do seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. I think God multiplies our time. He appreciates. Just tell Him, Lord, I'd like to be more. I'd like to be more disciplined. Is there something I can cut out? Is there something I can change? Help me. Or is there something I can do more effectively, more efficiently? And I was able to. My grades went up, and I was able to study. Had better study habits. Then I was able to, you know, also do the stay physically fit. Now, I wasn't, you know, like playing soccer and on the team. I didn't have to do that anymore. And I actually quit the soccer team so that I could grow as a Christian and stay in school. Two good reasons. But I wasn't a starter on the team anyway, so I wasn't giving up that much, although I loved it. But I think God will help you multiply your time. If you have that desire and God's put that desire in your heart, you know it's a good thing, just ask Him, Lord, what can I cut out? What can I change? Or help me be more effective, more you know, more efficient. Somebody else?
Yeah. Can I just say one thing? It's kind of
yes.
This is just kind of for what it's worth, but some things that God's been showing me through the years. It's really important to floss, not just for your teeth, but they have associated periodontal disease with heart disease, so it's very important to floss. One thing that I do, I take 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar and a glass of water every morning. It's good for your digestion. It's disgustingly gross, but it's the first thing I do, and then I get past it. But it's really good for you. So I do that. Like Steve said, you know, I take 2 tablespoons. You would want to start out with like a teaspoon. And just, you don't want to do more than 2 tablespoons. So, and some people take it before every meal. I'm not that brave. Yeah, you should drink it with water. You don't want to take it straight. So, yes. And I've read where you should have honey, cinnamon, and apple cider vinegar in the glass of water. But I just want to get it over with quick, so I just take it. but that is really, you can look up all the benefits of it. It's really very good for you, and it's good for digestion. And, just to keep your body working well is really important. Another thing we take is curcumin. That's really good for inflammation inside, which is, if you've got a cut it's infected, that's bad. Well, that's what can go inside your body. So curcumin really fights that. It's really good for you. So those are just a couple of tips. So what was your question?
How do you find the balance with exercise and eating stuff when you have like physical or health limitations?
That's hard. I'm not sure how to answer you. I mean, what kind of limitations?
I have a bunch of allergies. Mm-hmm. So like dietary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. What I think of first is exercise as far as swimming is probably the least battering on your body. That's so if you can swim, that's good. And
yeah, water aerobics class. Uh-huh. We've done those.
So
many years.
And then, I guess just really being faithful to eat what you need to eat and don't eat what you don't need to eat. But that's hard. Does anybody have, do you have a comment?
There's something to do with, I've been in a car accident, so I've had been and stuff. I don't know if you guys have Planet Fitness down here, I'm assuming you do. They're open 24/7, which is nice. If you have a membership, you can go anytime. Plus they have like massage room for you. That's really helpful for like going.
Wow.
They have the hydro massage bed, and you go use it for 10 minutes, and it actually helps a lot.
Wow. What is it called again?
Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. There are times where I would felt like I was treating myself to a massage, but it really, in a lot of ways, it was necessary, like you're talking about. And especially in training for a marathon, it probably at times got me through it. Yes. Another thing I was going to say, since I am a beekeeper, is that I'm a firm believer that local honey does help as far as allergies. And it has helped my daughter, who has extreme allergies. She lives near my daughter Grace, who runs with me. So there are probably other things that God will show you, help you find. Just keep asking those questions. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone out to run where my back was hurting, and I come back after running, and it had gone away. So it's part of that understanding, living by faith and not feelings or emotions or what you're. But I'm not saying don't listen to it. It's kind of like you both. I don't want you to injure yourself, but there are times where we can push ourselves and push through it, but there are other times where you shouldn't try. I was running the Boston Marathon, and if I had kept pushing myself, there were 1,200 people that day ended up in the medical tents people with IVs. It was about 85 degrees, very unusual. That it's normally in the 50s. And I'm running along and I'm seeing all these people, with IVs, and I'm thinking, man, I feel like whatever, not good. And I thought, I'm going to end up just like that. But it's so, you've trained and trained and trained, and you've learned to work through pain, that you have to be careful, because you can hurt yourself because you try to push through it. And fortunately, I stopped and I walked. I humbled myself. So sometimes it's necessary to just say, okay, that's my limitation. I will not do that.
And we did find you laying on the street.
So. Yeah. At the end of the race, I laid down on the pavement and I couldn't move. So, yeah, somebody back there. Yes. Autoimmune protocol.
Right, the paleo approach.
The paleo approach.
My allergies are gone. I'm healthier than I've ever been.
Wow.
Lost 30 pounds.
That's fantastic. Your allergies are gone. You lost 30 pounds.
Lots of other healing. Rheumatoid arthritis
is
gone.
Wow.
That is excellent. I'll check that out.
Should you come up here and teach
class? Next year. Anna? Good. Very good. I probably, in the beginning, I put up doctor. Probably should have put physical therapist / nutritionist / trainer. You know, we do need people who are experts in that field to help us understand what to do, when to push through pain, how simple it can be ominous. You can look at this thing. It's like climbing Mount Everest. But they say the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. So, just learning those baby steps, like with Danelle, starting back running, just easy. And again, enjoying it, having somebody there to encourage you and walk with you through it. So important. Any other questions? I'll put this up here, and you guys might just want to take a picture of it, because I told Danelle, people don't pass out sheets of paper anymore, hardly. So you can, at the end, you can come up, take a picture, or take one now. But it's just some very practical things that Anna would tell you. And some of them we've already mentioned, establishing routines and trying to stick with them. So, well, let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for, again, that you came that we might have life and might have it full and abundant. We know that in this world that there is suffering. We know there's hardship. We know that there's pain because of the fall. And we know our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And we pray, God, I just pray for every person in here that their relationship with Jesus Christ would get stronger and grow deeper, that they might just be totally healthy, Lord. I don't mean that they're not going to have pain and not going to have challenges, but emotionally and spiritually healthy, Lord, and as healthy physically as they can be. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd lead us, give us wisdom in this area. Lord, help us. We really do want to glorify you, and we do want others to see that God's alive in us, not just because we're all physical, wonderful specimens, Lord, but because wherever we are, that we are joyful and we're enjoying exercise and being healthy, and we're making progress, God, for you in that way. So, Lord, we do ask you to use us, Lord, to help others, to serve each other in this way, too. Thank you that we have each other and we have the body of Christ. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all very much.